Hey, without further ado, on the Comcast Business Hotline, my man from Bristol, Connecticut, he's Kevin Nagani from ESPN. How are you, Kevin? Kevin, you there, bro? Try it again.
Hear me.
Kevin, how you doing, man?
Joe, how you doing? Great to be a part of the program.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for calling in, man. I know your weekends, you have precious time to deal with your family. I appreciate the time. Let's talk Philly sports right now. 76ers basketball. What's the national perception? Because you're around national guys and you do a national show. What's the national perception of the Sixers?
Wow. I think the national perception is not as in tune to what the local perception is. The local perception is a little panic, right? A little worrisome. And
definitely.
And this lineup hasn't gelled together. Funny, in our Sports Center meeting yesterday, in our production meeting before the 6 p.m. show, I brought that up, and it alarmed a couple people inside the meeting where I was just like, listen, this team has some questions. And I brought up how they've fallen flat against teams like the Hawks, the Mavericks, and the Magic in the last, ever since they beat the Celtics, and that there's some concern. Now, you know, when Joel Embiid does what he does against the Bucks, you hold your breath a little bit because you know he's going to give it his all, but you don't want the franchise to go down. But at the same time, he's been a little beat up, and you got to be concerned about the back and the knee. The frustrating part for me watching this team is in that fourth quarter when they don't have Jimmy Butler, you need a jump shot. Who are you going to get it from? And we just keep on asking. We were in that same position answering that question a year ago in the playoffs. Who's going to take the shot? And that's why they need Jimmy. And I think Jimmy relishes on the idea of being in the fourth quarter, being the guy to give him the ball. And Joel was fantastic, but the guy needs help, you know, and Tobias has to take more ownership on the court in the fourth quarter. I think there was a lot of, hey, let's give Joel the ball and let's just watch how everything goes. And the next thing is that Ben's just got to drive more. And I know there was a little mismatch against the Bucks, but Ben's got to create some offense for himself in the lane. And hopefully we'll see that. I'm hoping that, you know, next week it's going to be like press the button and it's a completely different team. I'm saying that because I'm very optimistic.
Certainly hope so. Kevin Nagani on the Comcast Business Hotline. You mentioned Ben Simmons, Kevin. Five shots the other night. How do you put up five shots if you're Ben Simmons?
I don't know. It's very frustrating. And again, defenses know it. Defenses know that he's not going to look to take a shot. The kid is a playmaker. There's no question about it. But if the defense is going to give you a shot, you don't want to play. You don't want an offense that suddenly is just four guys. And if they're gonna sag on you and then help out down low on Joel or help out against Jimmy or JJ because they know that Ben's not gonna, you know, keep them honest on a shot. Like, he has to find a way to get in the offense early on to make a couple of buckets, because then that's gonna change the defensive dynamic that they're gonna face day in and day out. He's gotta take more than five shots. And the shots, whether they are smart shots or not, he's just gotta attempt a few shots to keep the defense aware that, hey, I will take a shot if you give me a look.
They don't get to the foul line either. They were out foul line the other night, 43 to, I believe, 18. They're just a team that doesn't draw fouls. They're not aggressive. You know, I'm concerned. Are you concerned that the Fab Five, we'll call them, with respect to Michigan, I've only really played together for about 10 games, and it takes a while to gel, I believe, but they won't really, in their defense, they've only played together 10 games, but they're heading into the playoffs with not a lot of time together. Does that concern you?
It concerns me to a certain extent, because when you look at the five, they're all, you know, especially some of the guys that are missing time, like Jimmy Butler's missing time because of his back, he's a veteran. So I'm not concerned about him being out because I think he'll find his way in the offense. I'm more concerned about this team taking a day off or a night off and thinking that they could flip a switch. And it's not like that in the playoffs. And I hope there's a sense of urgency. I think you're going to see that from the franchise center, because he's fully aware of what's at stake each and every night when it comes to the playoffs. I just want to see that level of intensity with everybody else on the floor. They cannot stand around and watch Joel try to create. That just can't happen in the playoffs. something is going to have to change. And, you know, when you bring up the five, we haven't even brought up the concerns of the lack of depth that they have.
Brutal.
It's a scary proposition. Shoot, Mike Scott was incredible.
Yeah.
He did everything he could.
Yes.
But he's not going to have those nights where he's knocking down six or seven triples. Again, I love the toughness that Mike Scott brings. Gosh, it's much needed, but they need a little bit more help. And then that's why they went out and got Greg Monroe. They need a little depth inside at center. They're going to have to get that. Here's another thing, Joe, that really stood out to me in that matchup against the Bucks. Giannis is going to get, I mean, the reason why they got so many points at the free throw line is because Giannis is going to dictate whatever he wants. He is a nightmare mismatch.
Nightmare.
But Brooke Lopez did a fantastic job on Embiid in the second half. Every time that Lopez was out there, he caused Joel to hesitate. And if you watch the game again, Joel does not, he's not as aggressive as he is when Lopez is off the floor. So they need another center out there that's going to help them because Joel cannot do it all by himself. They need another center. If Joel has to take a breather, then Monroe could come in and actually find a way to score 8 to 10 points and with that second unit. I'm curious to see how he blends in and how many minutes he's going to get, in the next week leading into the playoffs.
I agree wholeheartedly. Kevin Negandhi from ESPN on the Comcast Business Hotline. Let's turn our attention to a positive. You're fighting Phils. 5-1. They've averaged over 8 runs a game through 6 games. Probably should be 6-0, but hitting the lights out of the ball and put up a 10 spot last night, beat the Twins 10-4. Does it have a 2009 feel to it when they were established, when you had Murderers Row, you had Jimmy, you had Chase, you had Ryan Howard, Raul Ibanez, and the like?
Yeah, listen, when you look at the lineup, the most important thing to me is there's no way you feel comfortable as a pitcher that you can get the next three guys out. That to me stands out. It's not just like one guy or 1 through 5. It is all the way top to bottom, aside from the pitcher, that you can't feel comfortable in any inning that you're going to say, this is going to be a 1, 2, 3 inning for me. That, to me, stands out. When you can do that where there are no gimmies, 3 straight batters, that's how you're going to work pitchers. That's how you're going to work, the starting rotation. That's how you're going to get into somebody's bullpen. And that's the one thing the Phillies have, man. Listen, if they got to out-hit everybody and win games 7-5, I'm here for it this year. I'd rather have that. We have watched this team in the last decade. Of course, the complete rebuild. But, in 2011, there were a lot of games where you saw Cliff Lee. You saw Halliday put some stuff together, and you're like, is anybody going to get a hit? And that was so frustrating. Remember? I mean, we were watching games where it's 2-0, and our starting pitcher went 7 innings, gave up 2 runs, but no one else is going to be able to get him out of that and score some runs. So I would rather have it 7-5 over the idea of, hey, 2-0. Because to me, 7-5 is a lot more fun. It gives you hope every single inning. And in that bandbox, you need guys that can constantly hit. And they got it. To me, the idea that they could put up 10 runs last night without Bryce Harper and Rio Muto getting a hit, that speaks volumes, man. Like, just think about that. Those guys went a combined 0-for-7, and they still scored 10 runs.
Yep. It's incredible what we've seen so far. You mentioned Bryce Harper. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I thought he was a complete punk when he was in Washington his first few years. He was definitely a punk when he was in the minors before he made his debut in the major league. He's come to Philadelphia, and I know you mature when you get, the older you get, and kids do and say stupid things by definition. He's really embraced the city, ringing the bell the other night at the Sixers game, and everything he said, the press conference at Spectrum Field, the first press conference. He says all the right things. He wants to raise his family in Philadelphia. He didn't want an opt-out clause in his contract, and he's hitting, aside from last night, he came into that game hitting 500 with 3 home runs. What do you think of Bryce Harper now as opposed to what you might have thought before?
All right, I'll let you in on a little conversation I had with Bryce a few years ago. He was in Bristol to do a This Is Sports Center commercial. And I, coincidentally, I had just finished a commercial with Andrew McCutcheon. And it's the Fundable Locks commercial. You know, we had a blast with it. And then I walk into one room and Bryce is in there. And Bryce is getting ready to shoot his own commercial with another anchor. And he made the comment, he goes, how come you're not in this commercial with me? And I was like, I don't know. And at this time, you know, he's with the hated Nationals.
Yeah.
And him and I just have a great conversation. And at the time, we're talking about Chase and Jimmy and Ryan. And I paused the conversation. And I told Bryce, because he's fully aware. This was several years ago. He was fully aware of the fan base and how much they love baseball. And I said to him, I said, see, the problem is now I like you and I'm not supposed to like you because this is great. And from there on out, deep down, I always knew, listen, he always wore a different laundry, but I always knew. I was like, Bryce's a good guy. Deep down, he's a good guy. And I think he's done everything right here in Philadelphia. I can't imagine a guy. Listen, being a kid from, you know, Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, that has been and rooted in Philadelphia sports and knowing the audience, all we want is an athlete to embrace us the way we embrace an athlete.
Yep.
Right? And Bryce Harper, I think, gets that. I will embrace this city like it's my own because I know they're going to treat me like I'm their own. That's all we want. That's all we want. I think you could talk about that with certain cities like New York and Chicago, Boston to a certain extent. When the fans embrace you immediately and you embrace back,
sure,
it's a difference maker. And, you know, I would be a little skeptical if he had signed like a 13-year contract where, you know, he has an opt-out in 3 years. I would have been like, all right, what are we? But this is a guy that just said, no trade clause. I want to be you for the next 13 years. I'm going to make this my home. So he's done everything right, man. And I brought this up on Twitter the other day about I'm not sure if an athlete has done or been in, you know, in his first month more for with a city and the combination. And what I meant was, and people brought up T.O. in his first couple months, and I, the difference between Bryce Harper and anybody else is Bryce is doing it on the field. You see that. He's also doing it in every other fabric of his life. I've never seen an athlete as a free agent come to this town and embrace it the way he has embraced it. Now, we've seen homegrown guys do that, like Joel Embiid and Carson Wentz recently and guys in the past. But in the first month, I can't think of a better month for a guy coming into the city.
It's been unbelievable. Hey, Kevin, we have about a minute left, and I can't let you go without talking a little Philadelphia Eagles. They picked up a running back to maybe fill their hole and, you know, be a 1-2 punch with whoever else they acquire in the offseason, whether they draft somebody or sign somebody. Jordan Howard, what did you think of that pickup?
I love it. And it's Howie doing work, man. For a 6th-round pick, I think, what do you got to lose?
I agree.
I mean, you see his numbers. He's only 24. Listen, the way the Eagles view things, they view it like half the league, where they think that if you have a running back by committee, listen, 2017, our run was a running back by committee. We missed a guy that could run in between the tackles like LeGarrette Blount. We missed that last year. Jordan Howard's one of those guys that can do that. He's not afraid of the contact. Now, let's see what they do at the end of the month when it comes to the draft to see if there is a 1-2 punch. But there's going to be another guy you can get in off the waiver wire in the next 4 months to mix that up with Jordan Howard and Corey Clement. And I think that it was a smart, shrewd move by Howie. You're not investing a lot. And that's just how that's their philosophy. And I'm on the Super Bowl honeymoon with Howie. Or whatever he does, hey, let's see what happens. I follow it. You know, I think they'll miss Michael Bennett. I'm curious to see Malik Jackson come in now with a chip on his shoulder now that he's gotten paid to prove that he's worth that contract. Because his numbers dipped last year in Jacksonville. And now that he's paired up with Fletcher, it's pretty exciting, man. Like, I think the draft will determine a few other things, but it's pretty exciting where this team is and where they're going to continue to grow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.